This is the Living Homegrown Podcast, episode number 53.
Welcome to the Living Homegrown Podcast, where it's all about how to live farm fresh without the farm. To help guide the way to a more flavorful and sustainable lifestyle is your host, national PBS TV producer and canning expert, Teresa Lowe.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome to the Living Homegrown Podcast. I'm your host, Teresa Lowe, and this podcast is where we talk about living farm fresh without the farm. And that's through artisan food crafts like canning and fermenting, growing your own organic food, no matter how big or how small your space, and just living a more sustainable lifestyle. If you want to learn more about any of these topics or my online canning courses, just visit my website, livinghomegrown.com. Today's episode is all about freezing. Freezing vegetables, freezing fruit, and freezing is a really great way to preserve your food. It's fast, it's super easy, you don't need any specialized equipment other than your freezer. The only downside really is that it does take up space in your freezer to freeze and save your food. But other than that, it's a pretty simple process. So I'm going to cover some quick and easy tips for freezing and give you the lowdown on how you can do it so that you can preserve not only the flavor, but also the nutritional value of your vegetables. And there are a few tricks so that you can also preserve as much of the texture of your vegetables as possible. Now, I'm going to talk about fruits and vegetables, but I first want to cover containers. What kind of containers would you use for freezing? You can use plastic baggies. I know a lot of people don't like to use plastic though, so remember that there are BPA-free versions of plastic, and you can get those both online and at a lot of specialty food stores. They're a little bit more expensive, but not super expensive, and that way your food is not in direct contact with BPA, which is that chemical that people worry about leaching into your food. However, there is a whole nother train of thought that any plastic is bad to keep in contact with our food. And if you fall into that camp, you can use glass containers for freezing. And one of the best glass containers to use are your canning jars. If you buy brand new modern canning jars, you can use those in a really successful way for freezing your food. Now, I wouldn't use vintage jars, anything really old, because they can't usually withstand the really cold temperatures. But the modern jars are actually made for extreme hot and extreme cold temperatures. And many of the jars will actually say on the box that they can also be used for freezing. And they have a mark on the side of those jars where you should fill to when you're freezing. Because you want to keep in mind that whenever you're freezing any kind of food, whether it's liquid or solid, the food will expand as it freezes. This just is something that happens because the cells will expand and they actually rupture when they are frozen. And that act of expansion can be a problem if you overfill a glass jar. As you can imagine, it will break. So always be wary if you're using glass to make sure that you do not overfill the glass. So if you're wondering how much of a headspace, the space between the food and the top of the jar, how much of a headspace you should leave, well, the amount of headspace needed can really vary depending upon the size of the jar and what you're packing. So I'll have a complete listing in the show notes for this episode, which is at livinghomegrown.com/53. But just to give you a general idea, it works like this. If you have just fruit or just vegetables in there and there's no liquid added, then you just need to have a headspace of about a half an inch. But on the other end of the spectrum is when you're freezing something that is just liquid. Like let's say you're freezing just straight fruit juice. Well, liquid expands a lot. So when you freeze just juice, you need to have a headspace of up to 1.5 inches. So as you can see, there's quite a bit of a difference. And if you're freezing a mixture of juice and fruit, then you need a headspace somewhere in between. So rather than go through the exact headspace of every single size jar and every scenario, I will have a list in the show notes for you, and you can go there to get all that information. Also, I really recommend that you use one of the jars that have a wide mouth opening, the ones that have straight sides, because of the expansion. And this is especially true if you're just doing liquid in that jar and you're going to be freezing liquid. But when you use a straight-sided jar, you don't have to worry about it pushing up against the neck of the jar. If you use a small mouth or regular mouth size canning jar, the kind that have the smaller opening at the top and they have a neck, well, as you can imagine, that food, especially liquid, can push against that neck as it expands. And if that's the only kind of jar that you have and you really want to use a narrow-topped jar, then you're going to have to leave a little bit extra space of your headspace. So I'll have information for all of that in the show notes. But I recommend, if at all possible, that you use a straight-sided jar for all of your freezing. It just gives you a better chance. The point is that you have to use a lot of space if you're using glass. Now, other than that, I think glass containers or glass jars work great in the freezer, and I use them all the time. Okay, so now that we have the container issue out of the way, let's dive into how do you freeze something like fruit? What are the best practices for fruit? Now, the thing to remember with any kind of fruit or vegetable that you're going to be freezing is that the act of freezing will cause all the individual cells of that food to rupture during the freezing process. So this means that when you defrost, no matter what it is, everything will be a little bit softer in texture, okay? Now, that just means that you have to think about that when you want to use that fruit after you defrost it. Frozen fruit works great for any kind of a sauce or a smoothie, or if you want to freeze your fruit and then make your jam or jellies later. I do this all the time. I will measure out my fruit for my recipe and freeze it and make the recipe much later, maybe even later in the season, later in the summer, when I have more time. So always keep in mind that it will change in texture when you defrost, but the nutrition and all of that flavor is still there. And that's what's so great about freezing. So in the case of fruit, you can just measure out your fruit and throw it into a container and pop it into the freezer. But the downside of doing that is that it will freeze together as one giant clump. If you only want a few berries, let's say you're freezing blueberries, and you only want a few of those berries, it can be a problem because now you have to defrost the entire clump. So what I suggest you do is something called flash freezing. And it's kind of silly that they call it this because, you know, you're really not flash freezing anything. But what you are doing is freezing all of the berries individually before you place them into your containers. So let's use berries as an example. What you do is you take a cookie sheet and you place all of your blueberries or blackberries onto this cookie sheet and you place it into the freezer for several hours and you let those berries freeze solid as individuals before you place them into your container. So what does this do? Well, what it will do is when you place them into the container, you can later reach in and just grab a handful out at a time. So this is great if you want to just reach in and take out a few for a smoothie or for your pancake batter or something like that. Once those berries are all frozen, you just place them into whatever container you're using, a plastic bag, a plastic container, or a glass container, and make sure that you label it and you date it. And this is so important because so many people think, well, I'll remember what it is. And I can't tell you how many times it gets stuffed to the back and you're not sure how long ago you put it in there or even what kind of berry it is. Because a lot of these things will start to all look the same, especially if they're in plastic containers. So I highly recommend that you take the time to label that container. and try to use that fruit within 6 months. Now, the fruit will actually last up to a year, but you have to remember that all you're doing is slowing down the decomposition process, or slowing down the process of the food breaking down. So the longer you go, the less quality and the less nutrition you will have in that fruit. So I always shoot for 6 months, but if I have something that has been in there longer, I just know that it's texturally going to really be broken down when I defrost it, and it may not be as nutritious. It might be fine for something like a jam or a jelly or to add into some other recipe, but it won't be as perfect as it would be in 4 to 6 months after I freeze it. So just something to keep in mind. Another thing to keep in mind is that if you have chosen to use plastic baggies for your container, you want to try and squeeze out as much of the air as possible. In any kind of freezing, air is really your enemy because it will cause freezer burn and will cause textural changes in your fruit or vegetables. So if you are using any kind of a baggie, try to press out as much air as possible, and that will really go a long way in preserving the quality of what you're freezing. Now, all the other fruits other than berries each tend to have little qualities or quirks about them individually. And so a lot of times there are special requirements for any particular fruit. For example, some fruits such as apples will really turn brown when you put them into the freezer unless they are treated in a special way. So in most cases, the way they recommend that you treat them is both with either lemon or ascorbic acid, which is a vitamin C. It's a powder you can get at the supermarket, or you can find it wherever you buy your canning supplies. And you follow the directions on that package for how much you add to a solution of water, and you soak the apples. Or the most common way to freeze apples is in a sugar syrup to prevent the browning and the breakdown of those apples. So each fruit has a little bit different method, but I'm going to link in the show notes for this episode to a chart that will help you in knowing how to treat each individual fruit or vegetable before you freeze it. So you go there, I'll have links and more information, but I'm just going to give you the overall bird's eye view of how you do the freezing, and then you can look up any particular fruit or vegetable that you want to freeze, because each one has its own little quirks. But the general gist of it is that fruits are pretty simple, and vegetables usually take an extra step. So let me talk about that extra step right now. When you go to freeze something like vegetables, they have on them an enzyme. And this enzyme is on the outside of the vegetable, and it can cause the vegetable to slowly break down and get very, very soft and mushy. So if, for example, you were to take your green beans and do nothing to them other than wash and dry them and place them in the freezer, when you'd pull them out, they would be soft and mushy. They would no longer be like a regular crisp green bean. And that can be a problem because then they're really not very appetizing. So what you can do to prevent the enzyme on any vegetable from breaking down that vegetable or making it go mushy is to blanch those vegetables first. And the blanching process is just quickly dipping those vegetables into boiling water for just a minute or two, just a few minutes, and then immediately taking them out and dunking them in ice water so that they don't cook. And that simple process of blanching will not only make the enzyme inactive, it also kills any microorganisms that were on the outside of that vegetable that can also speed up that breakdown process. So every vegetable has its own time frame for that blanching process. And I will have a link in the show notes to a chart so you can look up how many minutes you blanch your particular vegetable that you want to freeze. But in the case of something like green beans, you just heat up a big pot of boiling water and you take your green beans and you drop a handful or two into the boiling water at a time. You don't want to dump them all in or the water will stop boiling because the temperature will drop. So you just throw in a handful or two at a time. You wait your designated number of minutes which in the case of green beans is 3. So you boil them for 3 minutes and then you scoop them out and dump them into a big bowl of ice water, and then you can freeze them and they will freeze beautifully. When you're ready to use them, you can pull them out of your freezer and boil them or use them in whatever way you wanted to for a recipe, and they really do hold up well. Now, one fruit that we consume as a vegetable is the tomato. And tomatoes kind of are special because they don't need all of this special treatment really for freezing. And that's because they have so much water in them, just like a fruit does. No matter what you do with them, they will defrost and be very soft, more like a stewed tomato. So because of that, there's really no point to blanching the tomato. And what I do with my tomatoes is, I'm sure this happens to you, my garden will take off and suddenly all my tomatoes are ripening at once and I just can't keep up with it. So aside from making things with them or canning with the tomatoes, sometimes I just don't have time to do that. So what I do then is I freeze a lot of my tomatoes, and I do it in the same way that I freeze my berries. I will take a cookie sheet, and after I have picked my tomatoes and rinsed them off and dried them, you want to make sure they're dry, I will place them on the cookie sheet and pop them into the freezer for several hours. And then I will place those tomatoes with the skin on. They still have the core, everything. They're still the full tomato. I will place them into baggies and remove as much of the air as I can. I use the BPA-free baggies, and it's just a very simple way to preserve the tomatoes. Now, what happens when you defrost it? It has the skin, it has the core. You're probably thinking, how are you going to use it like that? Well, when you take out, let's say you're making a stew or a chili, you can just reach in and pull out one tomato because they were frozen individually. They're not in a clump. And you can take that one tomato and let it defrost. I usually place it in a bowl because as it defrosts, a lot of the juice will come out of that tomato. And once it's defrosted, it really has the texture and the look of a stewed tomato. And you can simply take your fingers and peel off the skin. It just comes right off. And you can even just use a spoon or your fingers and pull out the core of that tomato. And then you have right there in that bowl a stewed tomato, or something that looks like a stewed tomato, and you have all of the flavor of your summer, and it is all ready to go into a stew, a soup, a chili, anything like that. So when I'm making something, I will pull out the tomatoes that I think I need the night before. I will place them in a bowl and pop them into the refrigerator and let them defrost overnight. And usually the next day I can pull it out, and if it's still a little bit frozen, in an hour or so it will be completely defrosted and I can pull off the skin and remove the core and go on with my recipe. So of all the things that I freeze, tomatoes are probably the most satisfying because they're so simple and so easy. There's no blanching, there's no peeling. This is the way I do my tomatoes all the time. Now, there is one more vegetable that I do in kind of a special way, and that is the zucchini. If we don't have too many tomatoes coming out of our garden, we always seem to have too many zucchinis. Isn't it like that for you? You'll have maybe one zucchini plant, and it just goes nuts. And before you know it, you can't even give away all the zucchini that is coming out of your garden, right? So, besides blanching sliced zucchini and freezing that, which you absolutely can do, if you're in a hurry, another thing you can do with zucchini is not blanch it, but instead freeze it as a grated zucchini. Now, what I do with grated zucchini is I use it in my muffins. I use it to make zucchini bread. I might add it to a cake recipe to add moisture and nutrition to something that's not otherwise nutritious at all. And it is so easy to do. Now, keep in mind, because of the enzyme and the fact that we are not blanching this zucchini, the zucchini will defrost and be mushy. But if you are using it for making bread or cooking with it, you don't care if it's mushy. So in that case, why go through the extra step of blanching it? So this is what I do with my zucchini. If I have a ton of it, I will grate it up and I will measure it into 1 cup increments and I will freeze it just like that. And if I'm making any sort of a recipe, I usually need about 1 cup or maybe 2 cups. So I will just pull out what I need out of the freezer, let it defrost. Usually it takes about 1 hour on the countertop. And then I go on and make my recipe. The zucchini still has everything in it, including the flavor and the nutrition. It's just soft, which doesn't make a bit of difference in my zucchini bread. And it certainly is a lot faster than slicing and blanching my zucchini and then freezing it. Although I do that too, so that I have it for all of my stir fries. So just to recap, if you're going to be using glass containers, remember to leave extra headspace, and I recommend if you're using canning jars to use the wide mouth jars that have the straight sides, and look on the side of the jar to see if it has a freezer mark, which will give you the headspace for that particular jar. If you're freezing small fruits like berries, you can get away with flash freezing first, placing them on a cookie sheet so that you can then freeze them in your container and be able to reach in and take out just a few at a time. If you want to make jam or jelly with that fruit, you can just freeze it in the measurement that you're going to need for your recipe. You don't need to flash freeze it, and store it in the freezer until you're ready to make your jam or your jelly. Now, some fruits other than berries will sometimes need a special treatment to prevent browning. And if that's the case, if it's something like apples, you may see a recipe or instructions for adding a lemon water solution, dunking them in a lemon water solution, or in ascorbic acid, which is a vitamin C, and you can get that at any supply store that carries canning supplies. Also, if you want your fruit to hold up and be firm and be almost as good as fresh, it will usually do best if it is stored in a sugar syrup. However, I don't usually do that. I am usually only freezing my fruit to either use in smoothies or to make into a jam or jelly later. And if that's the case, then you can just measure it and freeze it, and it's okay that it will get soft from being frozen. You don't really care because you're going to be cooking it up anyway. So if you're just using it for jam or jelly, just measure it and freeze it. I always recommend that you measure it for your recipe, so, or at least measure it into like 1 or 2 cup increments if you're not sure what recipe you're going to be using, because it's hard to measure it when you first pull it out of the freezer. It's always better to have it already measured. You can just mark on your container. Remember to mark your containers. That's the other tip. Don't forget to put the date and try to use things within 6 months when possible. Now, when we talked about vegetables, I was explaining about the enzyme. And if you want to prevent your vegetable from going soft, the best way to freeze it is to first blanch it to prevent that enzyme from breaking down that vegetable. And all you do is drop it into boiling water for a few minutes and then immediately cool it before you put it into the freezer. And remember, I'll have a link in the show notes for this episode that will give you blanching times for different vegetables. And in the case of tomatoes, they can be frozen without any special treatment if you're going to be using them for things like stews and soups and chili and things like that. And in the case of zucchini, that's another thing that you can get away with not blanching if you want to use it for cooking. And if you do that, you just grate it first and don't blanch it and freeze it in 1 cup increments. And then you can use it to make zucchini bread or muffins, things like that. But if you do want to use your zucchini, let's say for a stir fry or to make a side dish, you don't want it grated, then you should slice the zucchini and blanch it before you freeze it. Now, remember, I will have in the show notes for this episode, I will have links to all the blanching times for the individual vegetables, so you can look up whatever you have growing in your garden, and I'll give you information on freezing different fruits, so you can look for tips on how best to freeze your particular fruit that you might have growing in your garden. And you can find the show notes for this episode at livinghomegrown.com/53. The bottom line is that as our gardens really start to take off this summer, we will all get to a point where we can't keep up. And sometimes pulling out the canner and making up a batch of jam or jelly or other preserve is just not in the cards. We just don't have the time. Well, freezing is a great time saver. It's something that you can do to break down a jam or jelly recipe so that you can do part of it now by freezing and do the rest later. Or it gives you an opportunity to preserve some of those flavors in a really fast and simple way without breaking out any specialized equipment. But like I said, the downside is it will fill up your freezer pretty quickly, and you are using energy to keep that food frozen. However, in my situation, I find that having some of those things frozen actually makes my freezer more efficient because I would otherwise have big open areas in my freezer. Once everything is frozen in there and there are no air pockets, the motor is actually working more efficiently because it takes a lot less energy to keep everything cold. So there you have it. Those are my tips for how to freeze your produce and give you a little bit different alternative for preserving other than canning. Thanks so much for joining me today. Until next time, I hope you're able to live just a little more local, seasonal, and homegrown. Take care.
That's all for this episode of the Living Homegrown Podcast. Visit livinghomegrown.com to download Teresa's free canning resource guide and find more tips on how to live farm fresh without the farm. Be sure to join Teresa Lowe next time on the Living Homegrown Podcast.